and he spoke to God, he told the people that they had to be prepared, had to be prepared to receive a word from the Lord. And that's why he says it in his word, that we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. So the service, when you think about it, our service doesn't start when I come up here. The service starts at 10, because that's when praise and worship usher into the Spirit of God. So we start actually at 10 o'clock. So he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So that means that when we come in here, we have to have a made up mind ready to worship. Even before you even come through the doors, when you're at home, you should already be in a spirit of praise and a spirit of worship. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So that is what the lesson was all about for Sunday school. Today, I just want to speak to you about a firm foundation. A firm foundation. Amen. Father, we come to you right now, exalting, praising, and magnifying your name. God, we look to you in all things. We know that we could do nothing without you. But through you, Lord, we could do all things. Therefore, God, we come to you with an open heart, ready to receive what thus saith the Lord. God, allow us to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. As we come and worship together, that we will not think about ourselves, but that we will reflect on you, on who you are. Because you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the great I am. You're the lily and the violet. You're a bright and morning star. You're the first and the last. You're immutable, God. You don't change. And for that, God, we thank you. You know all things. You're omniscient. You're omnipresent. You're everywhere. All the time. So, Father, be with us. Prepare us to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Oh, God, you are our strength and you are our Redeemer. God, we thank you and we love you, because it is in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. Amen. Amen. A firm foundation. When I think about a foundation, I ask myself, what is a foundation? What is a foundation? The natural or prepared ground or base on which some structure rest. It could be the basics or groundwork of anything, the moral foundation of both society and religion. The lowest division of a building, a wall, or the like. Usually of masonry and partly or wholly below the surface of the ground. So the foundation is a bottom of whatever is being built. It holds the structure together. You all know the story of the three pigs. You know, some build their houses on hay, straw, and some had solid bricks. But we have to stand on a firm foundation. The word even says on Jesus Christ, which is the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking, sand. Nothing can hold anything together unless it has a firm foundation. Even in our lives, we must have a firm foundation. But the question is, what is our foundation built upon? What are we standing on? Even in my house, which was built 13 years ago, I could realize that the foundation is leaning on certain sides, because it's cracking. So when that happens, you have to shore it up. You have to go back down and dig deep to the root in order to get some stability. And in our lives, sometimes we have to go to the basics, back to the basics, to have a firm foundation to understand where we stand as Christians. In Luke, the 6th chapter, verses 46 through 49, Jesus is giving the conclusion of an exhortation. He had just given the Sermon of the Mount, but he gives this conclusion. And Jesus is going to command that we stand on a solid foundation. It reads, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" He says, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. Then he goes on to say, he says that he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of the house was great. He says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Jesus made a distinction between those who merely make a verbal profession of faith and those who actually both hears his sayings and do them. He's making a distinction here about those who do what he says and those who do otherwise. We must use the language of Lord, Lord. We cannot be rescued if we don't. So, yes, we do say, Lord, Lord. Lord, help me in this situation. Lord, help me in another situation. Help me with my family. Help me with taking care of a loved one. Help me in my finances. Help me be a better person. Help me to become more like you. So we do say, Lord, Lord, though hypocrites may say it as well. We should not be ashamed to say it. Don't be ashamed to call out upon the Lord, because he is our Lord. He is our master. He is our Savior. So he's just making a distinction of those who are his and those who are doing otherwise. This warning of Jesus applies to people who speak or say things to Jesus or about Jesus, but don't really mean it. Their mind is elsewhere. Remember what I said earlier? The Sunday school lesson was about coming into the presence of God. So even when as we come into the house of God, we forget about everything else. Our mind should be focused on the things of God when we come into the house of God. Everything else, dispel it. Our focus should be on nothing more than worshiping him. It shouldn't be about what's going on in my family, what's going on at my job. Forget about everything else and focus on him. That is what worship is. He'll take care of the rest. So as you enter into his house, focus merely on him. Our mind should be on him. So we must believe there is value in the bare words and fulfilling some kind of religious duty with no heart, no soul, no spirit, only bare words and passing through. What he's saying here is don't focus about nothing else. The bottom line is our hearts and our minds should be directed to Christ. Don't even look at me. Focus on what the words are. Sometimes we come in and out, as I said, our intent and our mind is on something else. Sometimes it could be out of mere religious duty that we come in. But are we really coming in to worship and praise him? This warning of Jesus applies to people who says, Lord, Lord, and yet their spiritual life has nothing to do with their daily life. They go to church, perhaps fulfill some daily religious duty, yet sin against God and man just as any other might. There's a condition here. Let's finish. Jesus puts it this way. He puts it in the form of a question. He says, why? He asks, why? If we are disobedient, why continue to profess or have profession of obedience? He asked the question. Why? Why do we come in and do this or that or the other? The main concern is that whatever we're doing must bring glory to God. That's the bottom line. Whatever we're doing, we preach for the glory of God. We teach for the glory of God. We sing for the glory of God. If we're doing it for any other cause, it means nothing. It means nothing. So he goes on and he says, whoever comes to me, and I like this. He says, whoever comes to me, I'll give you three brief points about what he's saying here. Jesus describes the one who does follow him in wisdom and in truth. And he went on to illustrate the wisdom of that person. Take note of these three points. The first thing he says is that everyone that comes to me must surrender. We surrender all to him, not part of ourselves to him. We give him all of us. Not a part of us. He wants all of you. He wants your body, your soul, and your spirit. He wants all of you. Don't give him part of you. Don't say you can have this part of me, but not that part of me. He wants your time, your talents, and your treasures. A lot of times in life, we give our time, our talents, and our treasures to everything else. But when it comes to him, do we surrender? Do we really surrender? And you and I can, we can only ask that question for ourselves. Ask yourself that question. Do I really, or have I really submitted or surrendered myself to Jesus? So, as we come to him, being one, so everything's going to come to him. The second point is, do we hear his words? Do we hear what he has to say? Think about it. The word of God is being taught in Sunday school. The word of God is being taught in Bible study. The word of God is being taught in the different ministries. It's being taught at your homes. But are we really hearing and receiving what he's saying? Many times we could hear something, but not quite understand it. A lot of people read, but can't comprehend what they're reading. So are we comprehending? If we comprehend it, we understand it, we apply it to our lives. There becomes a change in our life. There's a difference in our life because of what we have heard. And that helps us to become more of a disciple. Discipleship. You hear me say it all the time. Disciple. He wants to make you more like him. But the only way we can become more like him is by hearing and applying his word to our lives. Because we've been made disciples of other things. And I'll leave it there. But he wants us to be a disciple of him. Then he says, and do them. Do them means to obey. Do we really obey the word of God when the word of God is being taught? Or do we say, I can do as I please? Or I don't have to follow those rules. I don't have to follow those regulations. I don't have to abide by what's being put out. That means that you're disobedient. You're disobedient. It happens all the time at school. With the kids, the rule, I say it all the time. Why do I have to tell so many people to put their ID on when it's a rule? When you don't do it, the bottom line is you're disobedient. That's it. No questions. You want to do what you want to do. And the same thing happens with us sometimes. Things can be put out. If we really want to hear the word, if we really surrender ourselves to God, we'll be obedient to the things of God. But when we're saying, I don't have to do this, or I don't have to do that, or the other, the bottom line is we're disobedient. So he says, whoever comes to me, you got to surrender. You need to be a disciple, and you need to be obedient to the things of God. But then he goes on and he makes a comparison here. He says, he is like a man building a house. Now, no, he says, in Jesus' final illustration of two builders, each house looked the same from the outside. They look the same from the outside. The real foundation of life is usually hidden and is only proven in the midst of a storm. You see, you're not going to really know who you are until you go through something. Then we're going to really find out who you are or who we are. So it's hidden. That foundation is hidden. This is what Spurgeon said. He says, the wise and the foolish man were both engaged in precisely the same avocation or occupation. And to a considerable extent, achieved the same design. Both of them undertook to build houses. Both of them persevered in building. Both of them finished their houses. The likeliness between them is very considerable. So what Spurgeon said was both of them was doing the same thing. They was doing the same thing. So Jesus is doing a comparison here. But Jesus says, but when the flood arose, you see, everything looked like it was all okay. But when the flood arose, Jesus warned that the foundations of our lives will be shaken at some time or another. Sometime or another, your life, my life, at the core, our foundation is going to be shaken. Both now and in an ultimate judgment before God. So what he's saying is, we're going to be shook up now, but some people are going to be shook up at God's judgment. God says that it is better that we be tested now than later. It's good that we get tested. It's good that we go through certain things in life, because all it does is improve our character. It improves our relationship with Jesus Christ. So as you're going through whatever it is, a loved one could be sick, death in the family, you may lose your job, people may not like you, people are going to talk about you. That's okay. What are you doing in those situations? Are you focusing on Jesus? Are you putting your trust and casting all your cares upon him? Or are you looking at these people or those situations that are going on in your life? You're going to be tested. But you have to understand where you stand. Who are you standing on? What are you standing on? Jesus is the rock of our salvation. He is the joy of our life. It is him. You don't stand on me. Don't stand on nobody sitting next to you. Focus everything on him. Because everything else can fall. But he's the only one who's going to stand forever.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes.
Trapp says this: time and the storms of life will prove the strength of one's foundation. Time and strength will prove who we really are. Even when time and strength could be hidden, you can't judge a person by their Don't judge them by their cover. They could be small in stature, but could be strong in faith. We may be surprised when we see who has truly built upon the good foundation. At last, this is what Trapp says. He says, when Judas betrayed Christ in the night, Nicodemus faithfully professed him in the day. You see, Judas was there with Christ, walking with him, and everybody would have assumed that he was one of his, but he wasn't. And then Nicodemus, being a Sadducee, hiding at night, he came out in the day, in the daylight, and said, here I am, Lord. I want to be born again.
Yeah. That's all right.
He goes on and say, he says, he who heard and did nothing. Now, we hear every Sunday if we're in here. Or we hear when we're in Bible study. We hear when we're in Sunday school. And we hear when we're at home studying the word. He says, he who heard and did nothing. Something was wrong. James even said it. You all know the famous passage, James, the first chapter, verse 22. He says, be ye what? Doers of the word, right? And not hearers only. You know, a lot of times I heard, you heard me, but you didn't want to really hear me. You heard me, but you was being distracted by something else. You heard me, but you had preconceived notions. You were already formulating what you were going to say before you really listened to what I said. I have to worry about that too. Learn how to listen before we speak. He says, be doers of the word and not only hearers only. Because if we're hearers only, that means that we are deceiving ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. You can hear a message every Sunday. You can hear a message in Bible study, in Sunday school. But if you're not doing what it says, you like this man. So what that means is something has to change in your life. Something needs to change. You need to come to him, surrender. You need to be a disciple, hearing the word. And then you have to be obedient to the word. Obedient. So merely hearing God's words isn't enough to provide a secure foundation. It is necessary that we are also, as I said, doers of his word. If we are not, we commit the sin that will surely find us out.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to find us out. So if we're saying one thing and doing something else, it's going to find us out. Most certainly will. Yet, no one can read this without seeing that they have not, do not, and will not ever completely do everything that Christ says. Even if we do them in a general sense, the revelation of the kingdom of God in the Sermon on the Mount drives us back again and again as needy sinners upon our Savior. So this is something that we must work on. We must work on being or surrendering ourselves to him. We must work on hearing and doing the word. We must work on being obedient. Being obedient. That is something that we must do all the time. 1 Corinthians 10 and 4 says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock is Christ. So we must drink of the rock of salvation. We must drink of Jesus Christ in all that we do. We put a lot of emphasis on other things. But Christ wants to build us up. He wants to make us firm and solid in him. And the word says that the people who didn't do what they were supposed to, the wind blew and it beat down on them vehemently. That means violently. And it shook them. It shook them to their core. But those that were standing on him, as the wind beat on them vehemently, as life's pressure and things of life went on over and over. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Because you're not going through one thing. There are many things going on in your life. And you're like, how do I stand? How can I deal with this? I don't have anybody else to stand on but Jesus. I understand. Will you, Sister Pearson, where are you? Did she leave? There you are. I understand when I could hear it in your voice when I talk to you. I understand, but Jesus is with you. Stand on the rock. Deep, stand on the rock when you're taking care. Jack, stand on the rock when you're taking care of your loved ones. In your marriages, stand on the rock. When your kids aren't acting right, stand on the rock. Don't put your trust in nothing when it comes to this world. This world will upset you. This world will, you will fall away. Stand on Christ, the solid rock. I too understand. I am no different. I go through the same stuff, probably more than many of you. But we, as in Christ, must learn to stand on the rock. And as we stand on the rock, mother, as we stand on the rock, we lift one another up. We pick that person up. Holding each other up. There's too much going on in the world. And we have to learn to come together. And even when that foundation cracks, Christ is still the filler who can shore that foundation up. That's what he does. And we are all one in him. We have to understand that. As God's children, we're one in him. Stop separating yourself. Don't isolate yourself. We're all upon that foundation. He said, upon this rock, upon, it wasn't Peter. But it was the word, Peter's word. But upon him, I will build the church. There are some churches that says that Peter was first in the apostolic succession. The Catholics. And everything comes down through that line if you study church history. And they believe that they're the only church. That's false teaching. We are all one in Christ. As long as we believe, have the same foundation. Our foundation is this. That Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ died. Jesus Christ was buried. Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And he could save. He is God. He's man, but he's God. If they believe that, they believe what we believe. If they're telling you something else, they're deceiving you. Remember what I said. You got to hear and do what the word says. Hear the word, understand what the word says. Don't just listen to anybody. False prophets, they've come in the world. They're here. The word says it. So stand on Christ. Don't stand on anything else. Put him first in your life. A firm foundation. A firm foundation. That's what we're here for. And Christ is that foundation. Amen? Amen. If there's anyone here today who have never given your life to Jesus Christ. You've never asked him to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life and to be your master and to be your savior. You've never done that. Don't think about your family who's sitting to your left and your right. This is, it's an intimate relationship, you see. It's personal. It's between you and him. Not you and whoever sitting next to you, but I'm quite sure everybody here is praying for all of us to be in Christ. I understand that. But do you have a relationship with him? Do you have a relationship with him? If you've never accepted him as your Lord and your Savior, this is your opportunity. He loves every last one of us. And he spoke that word to let us know that there are going to be things that happen in our lives. But he's always there. He's always there. And we can lean on him just as sure we can lean on these posts, because I'm sure these posts are here to keep this foundation from falling in. That's why they're here. You remove these posts, guess what? That roof's going to come crumbling in. If you remove Christ, things are going to start crumbling in. in your life. Amen. There may be somebody who's want to come back for restoration. Or you may be looking for a place of worship and want to make 4 o'clock your place of worship. Amen. Amen. For all who can come forward for prayer. We ask all who can come up for prayer, please do so. And we all need prayer, right?